This reading is by Robert Weston. I will lift up my voice and sing, whatever may befall me. I will still follow the light which kindles song. I will listen to the music arising out of grief and joy alike. I will not deny my voice to the song. For in the depth of winter, song, like a bud peeping through the dry crust of earth, brings back memory and creates anew the hope and anticipation of spring. Out of a world that seems barren of hope, song decries beauty in the shapes of leafless trees, lifts our eyes to distant mountain peaks, which, even if we see them not, remind us that they are there waiting and still calling to us to come up higher. Out of the destruction of dear hopes, out of the agony of heartbreak, song rises once more to whisper to us that even this is but the stage setting for a new beginning, and that we shall yet take the pieces of our hearts and put them together in a pattern of deeper, truer lights and shades. I will lift up my voice in song, for in singing, I myself am renewed, and the darkness of night is touched by the promise of a new dawn, for light shall come again.
A few weeks ago, I heard stories about two veterans. One told the story of being a soldier during the Gulf War. He drove one of those big tanks onto the desert, and to his surprise, the Iraqis came out of their tanks with their hands up. He had prayed about not fighting. He, through circumstances, found himself there, fighting people he didn't want to fight, and he felt his prayers had been answered. The Iraqis felt the same way. They were connected somehow. The other soldier felt great shame that he had dropped bombs from an airplane in the sky, killing babies in Afghanistan. He burned his uniform while traveling to return home because he didn't want anyone to know what he had done. In the first story, we find that there is fear and then relief. The soldier had fear in fighting, going against his true values, and then he experienced relief when someone else, Iraqi soldiers, literally put their weapons down, embodying the same values as that soldier, different religions, similar values. In the second story, we find a soldier who went against his values and killed innocent lives as a result. And the shame is so great that it still haunts him today. There's a Buddhist concept that tells us that we need to help other people towards enlightenment in order to attain our own enlightenment. The Reverend Karen Say shared a story about a monk during her 2012 sermon at General Assembly. She said, a Vietnamese Buddhist monk was asked, what can we do to save the world? He paused, and many people thought he would give a long, complicated treatise, but after some consideration, he gave a very simple answer. To save the world, we must first allow ourselves to hear the cries of the world. I can't help but think that the Iraqi soldiers who refused to fight and the Afghani babies that were killed somehow helped these two soldiers towards their own enlightenment. To hear their stories now, one could see how sorry they were to be in a situation that went against their values, and perhaps that's what they needed to set themselves on the path towards healing. The other day,
I found myself reminding myself that I needed to let go.
See, someone had silenced me, and I made a conscious decision not to call them on it. I realized that maybe I didn't need to speak out against every hurt, every pain, though for some, the struggle to speak out when being silenced has taken a lifetime.
Certainly as a woman,
and as an Arab woman,
I have experienced the silencing coming from all genders and many ethnicities,
a part of a learned behavior that says some opinions are more valuable than others. Thus, I learned when and how to make people understand the struggles of the Arab female in a Western society that tends to forget its privilege. I learned to speak louder when needed, to be courageous when it was called for, and to speak my mind when the call was so great I could not be silent.
I understood, however, at that precise moment the other day, that to be silent was the best choice, though it pained me to do so.
Have you ever been silenced?
Have you ever struggled to have your voice heard amidst the chaos of life? When we are silent, sometimes it can cause us great pain. At least for me, I've learned that I need to speak out when the call is so great that I must, as the reader tells us, the author of our reading, I lift up my voice and sing whatever may befall me. This was not that day, however. And I've been reflecting on it ever since. But sometimes we must learn from our mistakes, reflect, and move on, instead of reflecting and reflecting, allowing it to consume you and make you angrier and angrier or sadder and sadder. Sometimes the best thing we can do is to what? Let go. For some of us, myself included, we must learn to live with our choices and love ourselves no matter what. Now, I may have told you about this before. There's an ancient Hawaiian practice called Ho'oponopono, which focuses on healing by learning to let go. One practices being loving and grateful and forgiving towards oneself when feelings of anger, remorse, shame, anxiety, and the like arise. There are four simple phrases repeated. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Now, when I had taught this to the congregation in Bakersfield where I served, it was like this magical potion. For months, these phrases would emerge at various times, and I found that people used those phrases when they were feeling upset about something in order to remind themselves to love themselves and practice the art of forgiveness and letting go. Transformation occurred within the congregation as we all learned to be more loving toward one another and ourselves.
Reverend Say told us a beautiful story of transformation. She said, I remember a time in Vietnam about 10 years ago meeting a man who did a remarkable thing. He built safe houses for children who were formerly street children and who would go to the airport to pickpocket people. I asked him, how did you start this? What effect has it had? And he said, you know, a number of years ago, I was a heroin addict and I was coming in and out of jail. And I just said to myself, well, you know, this is my life. But one day, I observed a policeman pick up a young boy for stealing some eggs and beat him. And I knew he was going to jail.
I knew this was happening everywhere. I turned to my friends and I said, you know, I don't think this is right. Maybe it's okay that we go to jail, but these kids shouldn't be. So I took off my hat, passed it around, and said, let's do something. We chose Sundays as the day where the children could actually be children, when they didn't have to work, pickpocket. We brought them to the zoo to get haircuts and just play for the day. We built up support and created a safe house. And he said, I started this because I wanted to help the children, but in the process, I was transformed. What if the point of life was to transform ourselves by helping others and becoming happy would be the result? How would that change the way you've lived your life? Would you continue doing what you're doing, or would you change? Dr. Masaru Emoto, a Japanese scientist, looked closely at crystals formed in water. And in his book, The Hidden Messages in Water, he tells us that water is affected by our thoughts, our words, and our actions. This concept is connected to the Japanese Buddhist concept, Esho Funi, or the oneness of self and the environment. What this concept says is that we affect the world around us and vice versa. Cause and effect. Dr. Emoto was able to capture changes in water with photographs. What he found was that water reacted to words like love and thank you, and as a result, formed beautiful crystals. Bad words resulted in malformed crystals. And water also reacted to music it listened to and formed or did not form beautiful crystals accordingly. His research demonstrated that there is a difference between a crystal formed in response to the word love and a malformed crystal that responds to words such as I will kill you. With his experiments, he was able to demonstrate for us the concept of Esho Funi, the oneness of self and the environment. But one story he told demonstrated how one could change the environment pretty quickly. At Fujiwara Lake in Japan, Dr. Emoto recorded a Shinto priest saying an incantation over the water for about an hour. After 15 minutes, Dr. Emoto's crew called him over and said, "This is incredible. The water is getting clearer right in front of our eyes." Dr. Emoto observed that the water was becoming clearer and clearer as they looked at it, reflecting the possibility that our thoughts, words, and actions have a direct effect on the environment in which we reside. But there's more to this story. They took pictures of the crystals at Fujiwara Lake water before the prayer, the incantation, and then after. What they found was the before picture looked like crystals, all distorted though. And the picture taken after the prayer reflected crystals changed into well-formed, whole, and gorgeous crystals. Now this is the interesting part, if that wasn't already interesting. A few days later, there was a report that the body of a woman had been found in Fujiwara Lake. Dr. Emoto remembered the picture of the water crystals before the prayer and reflected on how it looked like a face in agony. He said, "Perhaps through the crystals, the spirit of the woman was trying to tell us something. I would like to think that her suffering was alleviated in part by the incantation." And what is our body made up of? Water. A lot of water. Shantideva, an 8th century Indian monk, said, "All the happiness in the world comes from thinking of others. All the suffering in the world comes from thinking of only oneself." What if we truly could become happy by focusing on others? What if our environment and we are truly one? What if healing ourselves meant we must heal our environment, not just our natural environment, but our environment such as relationships with family and friends, relationships with the oppressed, so that we're not only hearing all the cries of the world, but healing them as well at the same time. The beauty of life is that today and every day, we get to shift our thinking and begin again. And as the author of our reading reminds us, out of the destruction of dear hopes, out of the agony of heartbreak, song rises once more to whisper to us that even this is but the stage setting for a new beginning.